Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts. And I'm here with Flash. What's up, dude?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a beautiful morning, a cloudy morning, so hopefully no light rays on my face. Usually on YouTube, if you're watching us, supporting the show via YouTube, you can see from time to time that it's sunny and I get blinds lines on my face. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. And Don Cheadle and the Dyson Bladeless Fan. It's what this show is about. All right, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by finding us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also support us via all major podcasting platforms, where you can leave us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. You can also support us via Patreon by becoming an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you can become an official Pepperhead, have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server, support the show. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier, $10 a month, like definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. You can also support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier for $5 a month. That gets you access to our bi-weekly giveaway. The Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier gets you one entry. The 2-liter tier gets you two entries. And if you decide to join the legendary Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, where Vin Diesel, our new rope guy at the gate, lifts the gates and allows you to enter for $50 a month, you get a free hat every single month. Access to the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge and 3 entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. Reven Lift has been enjoying the Dr. Pepper French Toast at brunch. The Tasmanian Devil as well. The Animaniacs, they're not allowed at brunch anymore.
Their antics are too much.
Yeah, there was an incident with the patio furniture, and it's just... it's gotten to be a lot, you know? So if you'd like to join the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, you can get a free hat and do a bunch of stuff and imagine yourself enjoying brunch with LeBron and his fake family. Space Jam 2 is always playing on the TVs, and you can always listen to the waves crashing at the newly installed. We switched out the water in the lounge for the beach installation for Dr. Pepper. So we're turning it into a real Willy Wonka type situation over there. Oh, at the end of this episode, by the way, we are giving away a Borderless Foil Tyler Jacobson signed Orcish Bowmasters as well. So stick around to the end, check out the giveaway, see who walks home, goes home with the prize this week. Set of tokens along with that. So like a $75 value right out the gate. It's crazy. It's a super... And so anybody who has signed up for the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, who has signed up for the 2-liter tier, who is in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, will have a chance at winning. All right. To the more important thing. Today and all of this week, it's been this conversation circulating Reddit and in CDH almost entirely, but just going to sort of figure out what happened and figure out if and today we're just talking about the 11.5-hour finals game that happened at Salt City CDH 10. It was a CDH convention. It was a 10K. So this is a massive, massive tournament taking place. And ultimately, the story is that this was a long day, to say the least. An 11.5-hour finals game that drew the attention of, well, almost the entire CDH community as we were trying to figure out what happened. Was this allowed to happen? How did it happen? And really, it's just one of the more insane things, I think, because now we've seen like, I think before the general public has always viewed CDH as this like very quick format, like every deck is geared to win, ready to win on turn two. And that's turned a lot of people away from the format as well. Like, they don't like that a lot of the cards or strategies they implement in their decks would not be able to be implemented in that time frame, like a turn two type win window. So now we have two extremes. We have a game where the game can end on turn one. I've seen that happen. Like, I've seen it happen multiple times before anybody else even gets a turn. I've lost. And then you can also now have the extreme of an 11 and a half hour game happening in finals. And so it was only a matter of time, but really when you make the final cut, the last two rounds, top eight, top 16, or whatever cut you make, those games are untimed because somebody has to win. Somebody has to move on. There's no such thing as a draw in these games. So what ultimately happened was the game was dragging on. These guys are in it for like 4 or 5 hours. And then they're like, hey, should we take a break? They took a break. Right. And throughout the course of the game, each player had landed some sort of value engine. And I should just go ahead. And so our top four, the table, was Blue Farm with Stephen McGill. And then we have Rog Thrasios by Kang Nguyen. And then we have Tim Toronto with Marnius Kalgar making the top table. And then we got Tyler Hyde on Tivit. So two Esper, one Teemer Turbo with Rog Thrasios, and then a Blue Farm deck. So the final table is a lot of mid-range. It is you know, it's a lot of value engines and it's a lot of those good pile stuffs, right? Decks, you know how they function in a certain way. So they have a lot of value engines set up. Marnius Kalgar, you know, is like setting out Smothering Tithe, Rhystic Study, and all these things. So as they get closer or as they take steps towards the end of the game, they've set up so many value engines that every single game action resulted in like 6 to 8 triggers being created at any given point. And so imagine just being like, I'll cast this spell to start the turn, right? Upkeep? Well, 6 triggers? No, but it's like cast a spell and then right off the bat, trigger, 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 trigger. Okay? And that's the conversation that happens, that was happening at the table every single time a game action was taken. It would cause a trigger. So trigger, 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 trigger. Priority, 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 priority. Sweet. That resolves. Priority, 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 priority. Okay, that one resolves. Priority, priority, priority. You kind of get what I'm getting at here. every
you go through it one more time.
So let's say I draw a card. Okay, Smothering Tithe, trigger on the stack.
Don't actually go through it one more time.
Priority, priority. So this was the whirlwind, the storm, that they had created for themselves, right? When you're playing CDH, it's ideal that you get your value engines down early. You drop a Rhystic Study early so you can see more cards, you can get more information. You drop a Smothering Tithe as soon as you can because it generates the mana necessary to use your resources more effectively or take them further than you otherwise would have been. You know, it's like you drop a Mystic Remora early in the game because you took a one lander, right? Or you drew it later in the game. You drop it later in the game because you don't know when this game's going to end. It's been 4 hours. I might as well drop it now. It might give me the cards to make this nightmare end. The experience has to be so mentally exhausting to be like the mental marathon that you have to like endure to go through, and then to not only get to hour 4 or 5, but then all of a sudden you're blinking and you're at hour 8, and then the judges and the tournament organizers and the people who own the property are wondering what the hell is going on. Like, is this ever going to come to a close? And so it's at the 8 hour mark. The stack is apparently, from the stories that I had heard, the stack was 60 spells long, and not just like triggers, but like they had the stack so high because every time they allowed a Rift Excited trigger to resolve or whatever, they would, you know, draw a card. Oh, okay. Smothering Tide trigger. And then they
just
were casting.
Everyone was generating infinite resources.
Yeah, you know, it was functionally an infinite stack based on how there were two Valley Flood colors out. There were multiple. There was a Smothering Tide. There were multiple Rhystic Studies, multiple Mystic Remoras. So every non-creature spell would generate like 8 triggers on the stack. And then if one person drew a card, then it would create another trigger. And it was just something that. And with the Valley Flood colors out, every time you drew a card or you interacted with the stack, you put another thing on the stack, and then all of a sudden eight more triggers go on the stack. So any type of once basically at this point, 8 hours in, someone had put on a win condition on the stack. And so win condition on the stack, a silence gets cast in response. Okay, now we do all those triggers. Okay. Priority, priority, priority. Sweet. Cool. Cracker Ranger Captain. Priority, priority, priority. And then they started. And once a silence goes on the stack, another player tries to jam their win attempt on top of that. Right. And then they crack the Ranger Captain. And so now every other player at the table knows that, hey, if this stack resolves after the Ranger Captain resolves, then the player who initially put the win condition on the stack wins the game. So I have to try to win right now on top of this. And so this is a 3 hour stack they put themselves in. So, and it didn't even reach a resolution. The end of this game did not happen. So they build the stack so high. And they're going, they have it all mapped out and everything like that. And it's probably extended most of the table, but you know, there's a time twister. There's all these things getting shuffled back in. All these cards are being drawn every time when the time twister resolved, all these Smothering Tide triggers go on the stack. Now this guy's got all the mana. So he's got a Valley Flood color. So it's going to be like more spells, more attempts. Anyway, so 3 hours goes by, no one has won the game yet on top of this crazy insane stack, and they finally get down back to and they take multiple breaks throughout this, but the refs or the judges and the TOs ultimately come together and they're meeting like, this is insane, it's been 11 hours, we have to call an end to this. So at this time, if this stack is still happening, if this game is still happening, if no one has won, we're calling it. It's over. And so, yeah, that's what happened. It got to the time, and then they said, "Game's over. Pack your stuff up. It's done. Like, we are going to determine who wins based on seeding. So like, seat one was." Person who did the best in Swiss, right? So basically that's how it went down, is that your ranking in Swiss, how you did throughout the course of the day, was ultimately how they divvied out prizes. And if you didn't know, the prize for this, which is why each player was so committed to playing, was a Judge Foil Gaia's Cradle. And if you're unaware, that's $3,000. So I guess at the end of the day, you could say that it's worth it for them to have done that, to have sat
something like $27-$28 an hour. I didn't do the math.
$27-$28 an hour. It's a crazy amount of time. So I'm not going to like. Or it's a crazy amount of money for that. It's like $280 an hour if you were to win that game, right? So yeah, it's one of those things where I get it. I get why you're sitting there. I get why you're committed to this. One of the guy sitting in seat four, Tyler Hyde, was having trouble explaining it to his wife and kids why he wasn't at home, like why it's taking him so long to get home, why he's through the night playing Magic, and he had to sort of explain that. And this is where like sort of like the craziness comes in, because it's like he was like, I felt like I had to win that game, and that if I didn't win, I had to win in order for it to feel worth it. Right. And that's why we were all so committed to it. He was definitely like on this. And then when they called it and they were like, so he had his win condition on the stack when the time ran out. And so like, or like he was the next in line basically to have his, he would have won is what, if from his point of view, he had said. You know, he was just like, yeah, it was literally the Ranger captain. Once that resolved, I put a War of Invention on the stack. So he had a Valley Flood Caller. And then it's just like, and then he goes and gets his thing and he wins the game. That was how he sort of like drew, or like how he explained it. But when they called time and were just like, yeah, it's first, second, third, fourth based on seeding. Thanks, guys. Go home. He broke down in tears and he cried at the table because of how emotionally exhausting the experience was. And I get it.
Physically exhausting too, I'm betting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, 11 hours. So
yes. If you are going to CDH tournaments, if you're a tournament grinder, the one thing that I can, the advice that I can give you is to drink water, is to bring tons and tons of snacks. Like eat throughout the course of the day. Like you get your lunch break, right? It's not enough. Okay. You need food throughout the course of it. And the fact that they got locked into this 11-hour game with very few restroom breaks or in food breaks and stuff like that, it was just, yeah, it was a draining experience. And so they were willing to sit there until it came to an end. But at a certain point, the tournament organizers also had to do what was in their best interest, because I think they were so locked in that if it would have gone 24 hours, they would have sat there for 24 hours. Like they would have stayed and been committed to it until it was finished. And that's what every player that I heard the story from basically said was, yep, we were there till it ended. Like didn't matter. Like maybe, our health be damned, to our own detriment, didn't matter. We were going to be there. We were locked in. So it's a legend and it's building now. And so it really prompts the conversation of what can we do? What can we do to mitigate the chances of an 11-hour game ever happening again? Right? So Flash, any suggestions right off the bat?
I mean, there you got to have some sort of timer on it, right?
Yeah, like that's kind of like the initial thought, as well as like, guys, we gotta. That was actually a suggestion by a comedian, was that you have a timer on it, and if it gets to a certain time, then it is handled the same way that it was handled here. Is that it's just given to you know, person who plays highest in Swiss. And then, you know, so seat order, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's how it'd be determined. And then it kind of came up, and this is where everyone wants to have and believe the worst in each other. So there was the conversation of like, oh, well, if I get first in Swiss, then I have an alternate win con. And it's like, oh man, don't think of it like that. This is a contingency plan. It shouldn't be your backup, you know, like your backup victory plan. So, you know, it sort of creates an incentive to be like, well, I'm just going to draw the game out, you know, in slow play or create conversations that don't necessarily need to happen in order to draw out the timer. Because it is worth it. It like the time is worth it. When there is a $3,000 card on the board, like up for grabs, right? I think I was shocked before hearing about this. I was, I guess, wondering what would someone put themselves through in order to get a Magic card that's incredibly valuable. And I was shocked.
Well, what have you personally done?
What have I personally done to get it? I traded in.
That would be shocking to a non-Magic player.
That's probably, gosh, I had spent probably thousands of dollars over the years. Probably somewhere in the thousands of dollars over the years to collect a ton of Magic cards, right? And I traded it all in for one. That's probably the craziest thing I've ever done. Like, hey, that's just...
And just for the record, which card was that?
It was a Guy's Cradle. Like, okay. I traded in most everything. And at the time, Guy's Cradle was like $1,000. And so the ROI is not there. If you're a non-Magic player, why you listen to this in your hour? How are you 27 minutes into the episode?
Honestly, if you're not a Magic player and you're listening to this, you are insane.
Yes, absolutely. And so, yeah, there was one point I traded in everything but my deck, because it was an upgrade for a deck I was building, into Card Kingdom for store credit that, you know, so years of collection building wiped out in an instant for the pursuit of one card, I guess you could say is kind of insane. But I've never been in like a marathon situation like this, where it's a test of wills, so to speak, wills and skills.
There's something there.
There's something there. But yeah, it's so setting a timer on the whole thing is one of those things where you don't want to create an alternate win con for the person who gets first. Maybe that creates a conversation at the table. Here's the thing. This is, you know, it's like, and then you're like, oh, well, if he draws out the clock like this, then we have to gang up on him and knock him out or keep him from winning or drawing the game out like this. Right. So maybe that's how it's policed. Maybe that's how it's enforced. And this is where arguably the worst thing about CDH is the judge structure, or like how judges interact with games, or how, because there is all of this politicking that happens throughout the course of the game, how does one determine slow play? How does one determine intentionally drawing out the game or whatever, due to how much conversation happens? And that's what CDH players see as like a core part of the game or of this format, is the fact that you do so much politicking that you can use your words to manipulate outcomes and all of these things. So like, really, the judges have to sit and just watch as these almost like sometimes absolutely fruitless conversations happen, where it's just talking to talk. I've sat at tables where it is just, what are we even talking about right now? Let's play the game. And I can only imagine. Okay, so part of the story that is worth mentioning is that this guy broke it down. He said out of the 11 hours, he said that 50% of the 50% of the time was spent resolving triggers, not even taking game actions.
Sounds about right.
50% was resolving triggers. 30% was this guy Kang just trying to politic. 30% of the time. So, and then like the other 20%, he said was a mixture of taking game actions and then himself and one of the other players wondering if they would ever get another turn or get another go around the table again. So this one person was holding the table hostage for 30% of the time because they were trying to politic and manipulate like the course of the game in their benefit. So I like, and I understand the outcome. I understand like that each player has different strategies and has fulfillment in different ways. So like for me, I like seeing game actions. I like watching like arena content for that reason, you know, like to see. There's one guy out there.
A lot of things happen on a board.
I just want to see some, like the cool interactions. Why I like CDH so much, right? It's like I like seeing everything interact in a way that I've never seen before because the game is so intriguing. Now, there are other players whose like fulfillment is comes from the psychological aspect of it, where they're able to warp and manipulate outcomes due to their things. And I know that's some players like Atlas, that's their strength, like throughout the course of the game. So, you know, the fact that, so let's do a little math, 11 and a half hours, 30% of that is, what, 3.5 hours, something like that. A little over 3 hours of your time is listening to this one person try to make their case. Shut up. Be like, shut up. Let's play. What are we doing? Resolve the triggers. Let's go. Kids at home. Wife's at home. I'm in trouble. Let's get out of here. I want this card. I want to go home, baby. What's happening? I'm tired. I want to sleep. Shut up. I would be so mad. I'd be so furious. And maybe that's the psychological aspect of it that they're trying to get out of you. But that's just like, that's just scummy behavior, it feels like, you know? So what can we do to like theorize here? What would you do to improve CDH in this, in given all the information from this 11-hour game that I've unfurled here? Probably not all the details and probably not all of the like nitty gritty stuff that led to the outcome, right? I wasn't there. I wasn't sitting at the table. I just got second. You know, basically listened to each player that was willing to speak on it. The guys who participated in this and got their perspectives, right? My suggestion is that we are able, you know, and this is all about creating a structure to give judges and TOs teeth so that they can enforce certain, like, so they can enforce the rules. Because well, in a world and a country where we live, sorry to be slightly political here, where people act without accountability, like they act as if there is no accountability and are never punished for it, those type of behaviors have bled into all aspects of our lives. And so there, when there's no accountability, there's no downside to behaving a certain way to get a certain result. It will happen. It will happen. It will come up. It'll come to the forefront. It'll eventually be cast in such a shining light as this. So like, my suggestion, and this was talked about in the Discord server, was that we would, that you could implement, challenges or timeout tokens, right? In the form of pogs, slammers, which
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else on the market who has them, you know, who is selling them, but if they yeah, slammers tokens, right? Timeout token. Here's the deal. We want to have a conversation about what's happening on the stack. I will redeem one of my two tokens to insert myself into this. Put the token on the stack. Game stops. No game actions can be taken. Conversation now happens with the person that played, that used their token, and the person involved. They get to choose who they want to deliberate with, right? Nobody else, unless they also put a token in, can contribute to that conversation, right? So now you strategically have to like call it a politics token, call it whatever you want. Maybe it's something else, but I just call it a timeout. Just be like, hey, game stops, boom. Why are you doing that? Like, well, maybe, you know, like have the conversation. Is this the best play? Is this in our best interest? I see this happening. I see this happening. You get a certain timer on something that, you know, this is worth like 3 minutes of time, right? And you get two of those throughout the course of each game. Right? So that also gives you something that the TO or the judges can, like, if you are committing like games or rules infractions or stuff like that, like, and you're found guilty of it, a judge can also come over and be like, you have now lost one of your timeout tokens due to this process of having to deliberate whether or not you have been found guilty of a rules infraction, right? Boom, one gone. Now you have one less argument to place. You better use that timeout chip effectively. Otherwise, you are not going to be able to politic as effectively throughout the course of this game. Otherwise, someone says, calls judge and says, slow play, right? He hasn't used a timeout chip and he's contributing to this conversation. Boop, slow play. Like, and now you have another rules infraction right there. It's a way to enforce this and deter this behavior about like interacting with the game and stopping things.
Making your interactions more deliberate.
Yes.
In the social aspect. Yeah,
exactly. And now the first argument that was met in response to this was that like, that isn't like the true nature of like CDH is like that. The politics is the most rewarding part. And I'm not taking that away. Right. I'm just asking you to be more deliberate with your politicking. Right. Choose moments. It's not to say that you can't be like someone says, oh, I'm going to play a smothering tithe. It doesn't stop you from being able to say like, hey, that's a really good play. Or, you know, like, or to be able to like still say things in small little moments to manipulate, you know, your opponent in whatever way you set. When you want to have a conversation about something on the stack, like, hey, do we want to interact with this? Like, smothering tithe on the stack token. Hey, is this something we should stop? Like, boom. Use your token. Is it worth conversing about? Every player at the table should know. Like, you are there, right? You are there. You are at a CDH tournament. Every single player at the table should know that what the implications of a smothering tithe on the stack or what the implications of a counterspell or a silence on the stack means to the structure of the game, to the outcome of this moment. So no one should need 5 minutes at a time to determine whether or not the silence resolves, right? You can take, sure, 30 seconds, right? It's all a lot of gray area, right? To be like, judge, slow play, right? Like, silence on the stack in a critical moment, right? It might take you 30 seconds to a minute to think about whether or not you want to interact with that. I get it, right? I'm not in that. This is rule implementation doesn't necessarily stop you from doing that. It just encourages you to be more deliberate with how you want to initiate conversation throughout the course of the game, right? Because we need the game to move forward. And so many conversations happen that it's just talking in circles. So now you have two timeout chips in the form of Mockstar's Slammers that you can redeem at any point in the game, right? Maybe two is too few. Maybe you need three, right? But the more you add, the less value they hold. So ultimately, it's just a matter of respecting everyone's time, respecting everyone's knowledge of the game and respecting everyone's intellect as a player and skill as a player. So when something goes on the stack, good, 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 you know, like priority, 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 whatever, like, sweet. Yeah, that resolves. Moving on. Next thing. Let's keep going. Let's keep it like that doesn't stop you from bantering or anything like that. But ultimately what this does is say that now we can give our judges teeth to be like, When a timeout token comes down, a judge should be present in that moment, right? To make sure that they aren't dragging the game out, using your timeout token effectively, stuff like that. It isn't slow play. It isn't any intention to like draw the clock or anything like that. What this would do is also take away the 90-minute timer, the 80-minute timer in rounds. You could now go back to, you could go back to untimed games. Because if nobody has timeout tokens, the game should just move forward, right? And the stack I get can be deliberate or it can be crazy, right? Maybe that's another conversation about banning Smothering Tithe or banning Ristic Study, but you know, it's just You need something. You need a structure in rules in order to give your judges teeth in order to enforce. So when someone interjects in a way that does not use a token, now you can call slow play, game rules infraction, penalize, lose a token, right? There are things you can penalize now that are of significant value that deter players from acting out or creating that type of behavior that slows games down. Seems fair, right?
It seems fair to me.
Seems fair. Now, not everyone's going to agree with that because it takes away some of their power and some of their ability as politicians to manipulate the game in their particular favor. But we need to ultimately keep 11-hour games from happening. And we ultimately need to keep, I would say, 3-hour games. When was the last time you sat at the table with your buddies and a game went on for 3 hours? You wanted to end yourself. I promise you, in that moment, you were like, end me. Just someone kill me so I can leave. That's, I don't care.
For sure have been there, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been a couple of games over when we were playing at Stoop, you know, or what was once Optimism. You know, it's like, we're sitting over there playing, some games to drag out, and you're just like, can we just pick it up? Someone end this game. I want to go home. I'm not having another beer. Someone get me out of here. Take me home. Country roads. All right. We'll probably expand on this or have future conversation about this game. It's just insane that it even happened in the first place. But CDH needs ultimately to see change. They're, as someone who competes in other competitive events more often than CDH, the one thing that is uniform throughout all sporting events, which this is, don't tell yourself this is not a sporting event. There is something at risk. There is a competitive nature behind it, and there is something at risk financially. There's a financial incentive for you to be there, right? It is a sport. Like, you are not necessarily committing the most physically demanding acts in the world, such as, you know, playing in the NBA or the NFL. But each of those sports, every sport gives their judges and gives their referees teeth, gives them the ability to enforce the rules of the game. And just because in CDH we don't have a strict outline as to like how much or how you can insert yourself into situations or anything like that, there now does seemingly like there is a need for a more comprehensive set of rules for this format that is seemingly lawless. Outside of the structure of and rules of what Magic the Gathering is, there are no rules beyond that, you know, like being a douchebag, not against the rules. Like, is a judge, are people going to look on down on you? Lying, not against the rules, right? There have to.
I mean, like in the social spaces, like not tournament spaces, that is enforced because just you won't have a group that's able to play with you. Whereas in a tournament, you know, your people are assigned to play with you.
Yes.
So that stuff does get policed, just not in a tournament setting.
Yeah. And I will say, out of all the perspectives that we gained from this massive 11-hour game, the players at the top table were all very sportsmanlike and were no one ever lied about what they were going to do. Right. Like, so that is a very rare instance. I feel like that was one of the best things you take away from it is that, like, yeah, when you understand and you respect the game in a certain way, yeah, you don't lie, you stick to your word. So I mean, but there are people out there who manipulate situations with their words to get desired results in a less than respectful way. So we have to create a rule set that works to create a more expedient and time respective. Like, we just have to respect people's time and create a rule set that allows for that, so there isn't so much gray area. I get some games will get extended. You get in the finals and the stacks get crazy. Everyone lands value engines, and then stuff like this can happen. But
like, this is an extreme example.
This is extreme,
but it is a common problem.
You know, but it is common for a finals game to go for three hours or more. So, when we are expected to complete Swiss rounds in 80 minutes. So that's the other aspect of it is like, now, we need to have some sort of like equity across all games so that like, yeah, if you're expected to climb the ranks in 80 minutes per round or whatever, then we should be, having a rule set that can enforce that, you know, so when you get to the finals, it isn't 3 hours. On the extreme case, it is. But most of the time, a finals game should probably average out to be the same amount of time as a round of Swiss. Just, you know, it's like that. There's no sense in. I get that everyone at the top table is very skilled in their ability to talk and play the game, but there's no reason. There's no reason that it should ever go beyond 2 hours or 2.5 hours. In extreme cases, yes, but 11 hours, insane. Absolutely insane. I never want to be a part of, quote me now, never want to be a part of any game that goes for 11 hours. Just sounds awful.
Yeah, it's like what it's like those 23 inning baseball games that are just excruciating to watch.
Yep. And at the end of the day, is it a story to tell that, yes, I watched the 11 hour live stream in its entirety. I am a superior human. I did it. I stayed to watch the Phillies play 23 innings of baseball and they still lost. I am a superior.
Which happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You are the superior human. I tell the story. Sure. Great. But damn, if that isn't just, I don't know. Everyone chooses out
11 hours of your life.
Yes, exactly. 11 hours of your life gone. Look back on it. And a lot of players did say it was rewarding, or like the four players that were at the table said, yeah, it was rewarding. It's fulfilling. I'm happy to have been a part of it. I have no comment. No comment there. All right, Flash, any final thoughts on this crazy, crazy conversation, this rant, you could say, about how to avoid 11 hour games?
No, I mean, I just feel like I would be bummed out if I was stuck in one.
Yeah, you'd just be sitting there scratching your head. Like, I guess if you can put a win condition on the stack, or if you have a win condition on the stack at the start of the 3 hour stack, you're probably going to sit and see if it resolves. I would imagine. I don't know. Maybe I just pick my things up and go. But for $300 an hour, potentially win a guy's cradle, that sounds pretty, I don't know. I still don't know. It's cardboard, everybody. They're cards. I can go to FedEx and get a Judge Foil guy's cradle for 10 cents. For 10 cents.
Yeah, imagine missing your kid's birthday because you were playing a game of Magic.
I couldn't do it. No, I just can't. All right. This has been the Mock Stars podcast. This is probably won't be the last you hear of 11 hour Magic games, but I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you felt like it's a slog and you're hoping to see who won the giveaway, well, we've got there. We are here. You're moments away. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so by liking us on YouTube. 535 subscribers. You can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also support us via all major podcasting platforms. We can leave us a 5-star review. It helps new listeners find the show. Super helpful and beneficial for the Mock Stars podcast. You can also support us on Patreon. Like we said, if you sign up for the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier for $5 a month, you get one entry into each 4 bi-weekly giveaways, and you get a shout out at the end of each episode, like maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbard, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, and Will Rule. You can also support us at the 2-liter tier for $10 a month. Get two entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. Or join the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge with Reven Lift for $50 a month. You get three entries and a free hat every single month. We also have the Got Glarb hats in stock for $40. One can be yours. You can reach us at mockstarspod@gmail.com. Reach out there. Let us know if you're interested in the hat or if you want more information. And yeah, we can see about getting one in your hands. They're super schmaxy. Oh yeah. You got Glarb? I got Glarb. All right. This has been the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering. Dr. Pepper, Don Cheadle, the Dyson Bladeless fan. And supporting your employees in their workplace. Yep. I went there. We're the number one podcast in that.
That was a good reference to something we said earlier in the episode.
Absolutely. We're out of here. Peace.
Bye.
All right, if you made it this far in the show, you know what it is. It's our bi-weekly giveaway, and this week we're doing a big one. It's that foil, borderless foil, Tyler Jacobson signed Orcish Bowmasters. So let's go ahead, shuffle it up three times. One, two, and three. And we're going to spin the wheel, see who wins. Let's go! Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it going to be? Who is it going to be? It's Ravenlift! Congratulations, Ravenlift! You have won yourself a borderless foil signed Tyler Jacobson Orcish Bowmaster. Congratulations, and thank you all for participating. But if you'd like a chance to win one of these giveaways, make sure you sign up for the Patreon at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier, or even the 2-liter tier, or even the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge, like Ravenlift here, getting hats and prizes. Thank you all again, and thank you so much for listening to the Mockstars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, the Dyson Bladeless fan, and Don Cheadle. Peace!